Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today, I am extremely excited to have Miguel de Casa, who is the CTO and co-founder of Xamarin. Miguel, how are you?
Fine, thank you very much, Jesse.
I'm really glad to have you here, and need to start by asking how I did with pronouncing your name.
Oh, I forgot already, but I think it's fine. Americans and Mexicans really pronounce these things a little bit differently.
Now, how would you say it if you were in Mexico?
Miguel de Casa.
Miguel de Casa. Okay. I'll get that sooner or later. I have so many questions for you that I'm going to dive right in and start by saying that I had the incredible pleasure to present at Evolve and to go to Evolve, which was, without exaggeration, with one of the best organized and one of the most interesting conferences I've ever attended. It was an incredibly valuable conference. Were you happy with how things went?
I am very happy. It was thank you. Thank you so much for liking the conference so much. I think it was a pretty fun conference. We had about 18 months to put things together, so there was a lot of things to talk about. I think we had a great program. It was good that we already had Xamarin Forms out and we had some interesting previews. So I think there was pent up interest in learning about a lot of the stuff that we presented and we complemented it with a couple of surprises. So I think that was good. I think that we also kind of cheated because I don't know who organized. Somebody in the company did a great job, but we picked some pretty good food for a conference. So I think that was that was very welcome, at least for me, because when you eat conference food, it's always terrible. And this was very enjoyable. So I really enjoyed the food. It was the first time that I didn't have to go to an external restaurant to get it. So not technical, but I think it was a nice touch.
Yeah, well, ribs for $1,500 is hard to do, and they did a great job.
Yeah.
So staying with Evolve for a moment, you're absolutely correct. Forms was already out and a fair amount has been written about it. But what would you say were the really big new things that came out at Evolve?
Well, we had our section of new announcements. So we had the partnership announcements, in particular IBM, but we also had the technical stuff. So we have Xamarin Insights, which is our framework tools and services to track usage of your mobile applications. It's actually not limited to mobile, but that's our focus, of course. It also works on desktop and you can use it for the web. But essentially, it's a way of tracking usage of your application. And the idea is that you instrument your application to see what is happening. We can do some of the instrumentation automatically and some of the instrumentation you have to do, but it gives you an insight into what is happening in your application. Are people using certain parts of your app? How are they crashing? Why they're crashing? What kind of things happened that led up to this? The environment on which the application was running and so on. So that was one of the announcements. And then we had other three announcements. We had our Sketches, which is an interactive way of developing applications. And right now it works on, it lets you build C# code dynamically, right? So as you type, it compiles and runs constantly. So this runs on Android, iOS, Mac, and we have it running for C# and F# now, something that we couldn't really demo at the conference. We didn't have F# ready. It was a little bit like a week behind, but now it's all there. So that was the second interesting thing. We launched our profiler. I wasn't expecting people to be so excited about a profiler. When I was doing the presentation, I was trying to build a crescendo and go from least interesting to most interesting. And I was quite surprised that so many people really liked the profiler. Yeah, it was. I thought it went pretty well.
There was a lot of excitement in the room, absolutely, especially for Slap the Fish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, well, we demoed that thing. They actually built the Slap the Fish before the night before. They were trying. They had a horrible demo where a button would come up on the screen. I said, guys, this is horrible. Can you do something a little bit better? So they actually put together a sample very quickly that used physics and, you know, gravity support in iOS of Slap the Salmon. So there's a salmon falling down and you get a slap it and you get points as long as you don't hit the unhappy face. So the salmon has to avoid hitting the happy face. And finally, we released our Android player. So we launched an entire Android emulator to help developers build applications for Android faster. Because the Android emulator that people tend to use today is it's a real emulator. It emulates an ARM CPU, So it's very, very slow. You have to emulate every instruction from ARM on x86. And what we did is basically we're running a virtualized x86 machine inside x86. So you get to run at close to native speeds on the machine. So we shipped those three. Those were the previous. I think they were very well received. Again, I was building a Crescendo. I thought the Sketches was going to be the most popular thing, but I was surprised when people went crazy over over the Profiler.
My theory about that is that there was a felt need for a Profiler. So when you announced it, it was very exciting because people were hoping for one. And Sketches, it took a few minutes for people to get their mind around what this thing is.
I agree completely. And ever since we introduced Sketches, we're actually working on Sketches for Visual Studio. So we should have it available in our next batch of previews. So we're very excited about that.
There's also out now publicly a technical preview, Xamarin 1.3 technical preview. Can you talk a little bit about what's in there?
I think you're talking about Xamarin Forms.
I'm sorry, Xamarin Forms, yes.
There's a bunch of loose ends. I mean, it's it incorporates things like dynamic typing on iOS, a bunch of little bugs and requests that we have from our customers. So it's we're still investing heavily in Xamarin Forms, and as people start to put it through its paces, you know, they found things that were probably not tuned for, were not optimized for. So we're fixing those things, we're improving those things, we're improving the story for embedding third-party controls and so on. And of course, also at Evolve, we announced a partnership with a bunch of great component vendors that provide every imaginable and conceivable thing that your mobile application might need in terms of graphics, bar charts, scanning, document handling, PDF generation, all of these things that really that people tend to use on mobile. So it's it was a nice set of round announcements.
Yes, and having the component vendors, Component One, Telerik, Infragistics, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but having all those components available is going to make a huge difference. Do those components work well with Xamarin Forms? Do they integrate well with Xamarin Forms?
That was the whole purpose. Many of these vendors already had, some of them had bindings for a particular platform, mm-hmm. or they had already ported to one of the platforms. What is exciting about the announcement is that this is a cross-platform API. One API across all three major mobile platforms, Android, iOS, and Windows Phone. The one thing that we didn't have at the conference was Windows RT support, or whatever they're calling it today, Universal, Metro, and that is coming. We are working on Xamarin Form support for Metro.
Wow.
We can't wait to ship that.
And how much do forms represent the future for Xamarin? Is it going to be a significant part of Xamarin development?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's difficult. We have so many customers on different markets that it's hard to generalize this thing. Forms is great to get up and started quickly. It's great for things that are going to be, that are going to have the same user interface regardless of the platform. Mm-hmm. So there's a natural passion for a lot of developers to get started with forms, and I think that it filled an important gap, and people got very excited when it became available. That said, historically, we've been a company that has delivered native APIs and great support for native APIs and native design. So you can find that a lot of our customers actually care very much about native UI. So in some cases, what they do is they take their native UIs, and if they need to share like setting screens or some data entry that is not their core of their app, they tend to do it in Xamarin Forms. Other developers just start from a Xamarin Forms application, and then down the line, they fine-tune with custom UI on each platform. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's a tough question. It's like asking, will the system XML namespace see a lot of, it's going to be part of everything. I mean, how important it's going to be? I think it really depends on the space and the problem that you're trying to under which you're operating.
Well, let me push on that just a little bit, which is mm-hmm. most of the folks who initially came to Xamarin Forms were building native applications, and then Xamarin Forms represented a build on that or an alternative or a simpler way. But yeah. I would imagine that there are people who are now coming to Xamarin where Forms is their entry point, where that's the first place that they're going. And mm-hmm. then after that, learning the more native APIs as needed. And so does that change how you go about presenting it and explaining it?
A little bit. I mean, our story is definitely simpler for a lot of people now. And it certainly, and it resonates very, very well with people that were interested in cross-platform solutions. It's surprising how many people were just interested in being able to write once and run anywhere. There's a big contingent of those developers, and we found a lot of those in developers that build applications that have to abide by all kinds of local laws. Mm-hmm. And what happens in those cases is that they might have an app that runs in multiple regions, multiple states, multiple jurisdictions, and they need to respond quickly to changes in legislation. So maybe they need to start charging taxes here. Maybe they need to start capturing this new data, or maybe they're allowed to use certain kinds of medications somewhere, right? So what happens, and you know, it might seem urgent for us, but it's typically these things have, these laws have been set in stone for years, and they're just the dates are just starting to kick in, right? They started kicking all as like, I mean, if you're coding, it seems like they're kicking in every week, but I mean, these are things that just happen disparately across the globe. So a lot of companies just couldn't afford to build the same UI three times. And it's interesting for these companies that we give them the agility of building applications once, still using C#, strong typing, all the benefits that come from it, and still deliver their apps.
Right. And I just want to be clear that this UI that you're building one time, what is actually produced, what's actually compiled, is native code for each platform.
That's right. Yes.
So, which is quite different from they all look identically. I mean, they do look like and feel like they should for each of the different phones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me switch subjects on you. You mentioned the partnership with IBM, and I think a lot of us are really curious about the relationship between Xamarin and Microsoft. And could you talk a little bit about where things stand and where you see things going?
Yes. I mean, yes, it's actually a very interesting relationship because we, as you know, I've been working on an open source .NET and what became Mono, what became Xamarin for a very long time. I think I started the original compiler sometime in December of 2000, what became our C# compiler, what it's still used today as a C# compiler. And the first bits of the VM, I did it over a vacation, during a vacation period. I was working on that. And then we had something reasonably announceable by July, which is when we announced it at OSCon. So by OSCon, we had something working. Or we had enough that we felt that we could announce it to the world, and we launched the open source effort back. So it's been a relationship that evolved from those days, because there were people that felt at the time that .NET needed to become a standard. So Microsoft put the .NET through ECMA. There was the entire specification for C# for the CIL. And at the time, actually, IBM played an important role, because IBM said if we want to have a standard, we need to have all of these formats documented. And there were a number of formats that had to be documented. And that is really what enabled Mono, the fact that that ECMA basically said to have a standard, we really need to have all these pieces in place. So it's been a long route. And right now we have a very good relationship with Microsoft. So essentially, we have a technical collaboration. So we collaborate on technical matters. They share information about how to do things in Mono that we haven't done, perhaps. Like, for example, our Pickle support was done in collaboration with them. They really assisted us a lot. They share the roadmap with us, things that that are coming. We share our roadmap with them. So they have they've known a lot of these things that we just announced that evolved since, I believe, in January or so. Mm-hmm. And there were also a lot of things that we didn't announce at the keynote just because of lack of time. But there's all kinds of little things that were happening that we just didn't get a chance to talk about at the keynote. Otherwise, the keynotes can run too long. So that's the state of the collaboration. We have a technical collaboration. We launched the .NET Foundation. So we're working together into promoting .NET, open source .NET, getting more people building on top of the .NET platform. Of course, you know, something that is very close to my heart is the ASP.NET stack running on Unix, and ASP.NET vNext runs on Unix, runs on Mono. People are actively running it. You know, the guys at Microsoft, Mr. Fowler and company, they actually encourage people to use it. There's great tools that people can use to develop on a Mac or Linux. So So I think it's a very bright world ahead for .NET. It was a couple of years of a little bit of stress, I would say, anguish in the community. I don't know if you remember those years.
But, oh, yes.
There was a little bit of anguish, and I hope that anguish is now gone. Microsoft open source Roslyn, launched the .NET Foundation. We're working together, you know, there's all these things. So I think it's a bright future ahead for .NET. The language is evolving very nicely. There's all this work that is happening to improve the core of .NET, but done by creating NuGet packages. So these NuGet packages can now run on both Mono and .NET at the same time. So it's, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, I think that we're finally going to be in a place where we can fully realize the potential of .NET.
So the rumors that Xamarin is getting ready to buy Microsoft are false, then?
Well, I don't want to comment on pending acquisitions.
I see. Okay, fair enough. What about wearables? Is Xamarin going to have a story for wearables, and such as the Apple Watch or Google wearables?
Well, we already do. Actually, you can go to components@xamarin.com, and you can get components for either Google Glass or Google Watch. And we have people around the office wearing their Google Watches and, you know, building applications. In fact, if you go to the Monoblogs, one of our engineers built a very nice Android app to see when the next bus is coming, and an app for, maybe the bus too. And also where you can catch one of these public city bikes. So it tells you how many bikes are available at what distance. So if you're looking for a bike, you just tap on your watch and it tells you just how far they are and whether the supply of bikes is running low or high.
Do you have any sense?
We absolutely support it.
Sorry. Do you have any sense of how many apps in the stores are written with Xamarin?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I do not have an idea. I know that. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to get this information. It's very difficult because the only way of finding that out is if you download the apps. And that's, I don't know of anybody that has been able to download all the apps. I mean, to be honest, it's something that we've considered in the past, you know, just for the sake of actually getting some intelligence as to what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, how many apps there are, what kind of frameworks they use, what kind of images they use, what is the most popular file format, that sort of thing, right? Like, you know, what is the breakdown between images and binaries? So I think that from a statistical nerd point of view, downloading all the apps from the App Store would be ideal. I don't know of anybody that has done it. I know that every once in a while there's companies that says, well, we downloaded the top 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. But you also want to look at the historical data. Right, how an app has grown, what kind of features were added, right? I don't know of anybody that is doing that. So it's interesting. I don't have an answer, but I can tell you that it's a problem that I would like to one day see solved.
Yes, I think it would be very interesting. It would be interesting from a marketing perspective. It would be interesting in terms of how developers are shifting their approach and new developers coming to mobile. It would certainly be interesting to know as developers switch to mobile, where they're going and how they're approaching it. And certainly anybody who's a C# programmer, .NET programmer, or especially ex Silverlight WPF programmers who want to go to mobile, the choice is fairly clear. But there are a lot of other developers who are trying to figure out between using Objective-C versus using Xamarin versus using HTML5 and JavaScript. To me, it's a pretty easy question about, for example, Xamarin versus Objective-C, because Objective-C makes my head hurt. But which of those markets do you see as the next couple of years are going to be the most productive for Xamarin?
Well, I used to do a lot of advocacy for Mono, and a lot of people felt offended. When you're having a discussion about languages, I don't know what it is about discussing languages that people feel that they need to take a very strong position, and they feel very offended when you suggest anything else. I guess it just happens with some, you know, with some crowd or some circles. But essentially, we've identified people that really like C# and F#, and we're doing everything in our power to assist them. I guess I'm no longer in the let's try to convince people that have drank the Kool-Aid of something else to switch. I think that the frameworks and the space will speak for itself. Does that make sense?
It makes good sense. Do you?
But let me see if I can phrase this better. See, there was a point in my life where I actually enjoyed writing object-oriented C. which means I would write basically what a compiler would write. I would write my class initialization. I would write my constructors that call the class. I would ensure that every method would ensure the other thing. I would have macros that did this. I would have macros that did casting. All of this was built with an object system called the GObject system. It was based on GTK. And I really enjoyed it for many years. It was mountains and mountains upon mountains of boilerplate code. And what happens is that once you get used to things, you just accept it for, yeah, this works well enough and it's very flexible. I can do this and that. I'm not limited by the traditional object-oriented mechanisms. I can implement maybe a protocol way of doing things, or maybe I can use a special way of dispatching, or maybe I can do multiple dispatch, or maybe I can do this funky version of interfaces. So it does sound very powerful. And once you drink the Kool-Aid, you really believe that everything else is useless. But eventually, I mean, are you really going to spend your life customizing every way that you dispatch messages and how they're dispatched? And I mean, eventually you get old and you realize that life is too short to be doing this. Not only doing this, but debugging that and maintaining that and fixing bugs in that, right? So at one point, you just start fresh and you appreciate the value of strong typing. You appreciate the value of the compiler being there to support you. And to give you a little bit of like a skeleton, it's a little bit of discipline. It's a little bit like when you have a routine with kids, right? So at this time we go to bed, at this time you have lunch, at this time, you know, it's useful for kids to have that that sort of routine. I think it's useful for developers that get the same kind of support from the compiler. There are things that you might want to do, but, you know, it's better if you stay within these boundaries because you get all of these benefits. Certain bugs are never going to happen. A class of prompts are never going to happen. And of course, garbage collection is a godsend. Life is too short to debug another memory leak, right?
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, and they still happen, right? Leaks still happen because you still have disposables and you still have these things. But, you know, you no longer have to care about the smaller details about, you know, whenever I was writing C, you know, you allocate a string. It's like, okay, the first item you allocate, you have to make sure that you create a destructor and then you release it there, right? Every time you allocate something, you have to say, okay, what is my release strategy here? What is my release responsibility? And you spent a lot of time on that. You basically become a glorified accountant. And, you know, the tools have become, we now have professional languages, high-level languages that are able to take away all this pain, right? So that's the way that I like to build software nowadays. But I understand that, you know, the only way you're going to develop some skills if you actually go and write the you know, you write 1,000 times in the whiteboard, I will never do this again, right? So maybe you do need to spend some time writing assembly language code until you really, really get it. And then you can, you know, and then you can build some high level code.
Well, in terms of learning, one of the products that Xamarin offers is Xamarin University. And clearly that's targeted at bringing people up to speed and helping folks to understand the details of building Xamarin applications and also to achieve certification. Is that, to be blunt, is that a profit center for Xamarin, or is that more a way to create a on-ramp for people?
Well, it's a little bit of both. There's a desire to do this, but also there's a, so here's the thing. We didn't want people to just use our tools and then say, well, that wasn't, you know, it didn't really solve my problem and basically end up with an off-the-shelf solution or a bad solution or create crappy code. So what we said is we need to educate people. We need to actually empower people. So it's not only enough to give them the tools and the documentation. We wanted to make sure that they were effective. We wanted to, for a while, we talk about boot camp. So in a week, we'll get you immersed and we'll get you up and running and we'll get you familiar with this thing. So I think that that was a major driver when we started the Xamarin University, or at least the education program. The major driver was, we don't want you to just spend our money in their product and then not actually, you know, leverage everything that it has to offer. There's just a tremendous amount of value packed in there. So how do you unlock it? And you can certainly unlock it over the years, but can we fast track you to unlocking all the power that is available to you? So I think that that was the first step. And then it just happens that it's a popular product.
My sense is that the folks who have gone through it have found it very valuable and well worth the investment. But it is a substantial investment. Xamarin itself is a substantial investment, which leads me personally to feel that your target audience must be people who want to do this professionally or at the enterprise level, or, you know, not as a hobbyist. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, I have some anecdotal data, but that's all it is, right? I don't really know what the profile of our developers is, so I would be making things up.
Okay, that never stopped me, but okay. let me switch subjects on you one more time before I let you go. You have released a massive testing infrastructure.
Oh, that's right. Test Cloud. Absolutely.
And so perhaps we could talk a little bit about what that is, because I think it's unprecedented. I don't think that anybody has done quite this before.
Well, it's a right product at the right time. essentially what is happening is that the mobile space is relatively fragmented, in particular in the Android world. There's a lot of different versions of Android floating around. There's different pieces of hardware that it runs on, right? Some have certain GPUs, some they have different audio cards, you know, audio chips, sensors, all these things. So this combination of a fragmented set of hardware plus a fragmented OS means that if you effectively want to test your application for it to work properly across multiple versions, you really need to test on a bunch of devices. Well, and I should add a third dimension, which is even if you're running a particular version of Android, then a lot of the telcos and carriers and things like that, they end up customizing, making UI changes, and things that might have an undesired effect on your application. So, and also the iOS space is also growing. There's more and more devices. Now, if you want to test your application on a range of devices, you can certainly try it on simulator, but you really should be trying on devices. And there's now if you want to test on every possible device that you should support, this is getting expensive, having all those devices there and having them connecting and managing them and making sure you have multiple versions of the operating system. So you want to have maybe, I don't know if 6 matters anymore, but you want to have 7, 8, 8.1, and so on. So, and you have to have it across all these form factors. So what we do essentially is that we provide a cluster, a hosted service where we have about 1,000 devices connected, and we take care of managing the devices, of running the devices, cleaning the devices, provisioning the devices, and running your tests. So what you do is you build your application and you create a set of tests for it, so UI tests. So you can do either user interface tests or functionality tests or unit tests, and you package the tests and you send those to us. You send both of those to us. And we very happily just run this stuff for you. And we can run it on a bunch of devices. So you can either get results for all of your tests running on as many devices as you can very quickly, or you can test it in a wide spread of devices, right? So let's say that you want to test it in 90% of the major devices available in a particular country, then, you know, you pick, I don't know, maybe 80 different configurations, and we'll make it easy. You can pick those configurations and we run those tests, and then you have a good degree of certainty that your app that you will be well represented in the space.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come to talk, to walk through these different technologies. I think that Xamarin is very much the focal point of a lot of really exciting developments. You can tell I'm a fanboy, and I'm really looking forward to what's coming with Xamarin and with Xamarin Forms and the other products that you're producing. So I really want to personally thank you. This has been an extremely exciting voyage.
Oh, thank you, Jesse, because I've also been a fan of you for many years. You know, I read your books very early on, and I always use them as my reference. So that is I really appreciate it.
Well, you just made my whole day, I got to tell you.